Bibles to Ruth 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman, whose maids you were, with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do." She said to her, "All that you say I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward, and behold, a woman was lying at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you ask, for my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. Now, it is true I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Remain the night, and when the morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning and rose before one could recognize another. And he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Again he said, "Give me the cloak that is on you and hold it." So she held it. And he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did it go, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done for her. She said, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'Do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today." Let's pray. God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you're doing. God, we just ask that your spirit will just come and just speak to us, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us, just to our community, God. May we just be able to hear your voice, Lord. We just declare that we just give you this time. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that, yeah, you just take this time and you show us your way. In name we pray, amen. So just a few things. Winnowing is a way in which they would separate grain, and they would throw it in the air so that the chaff and the grain would separate from each other, and it would make it easier so you weren't picking at it. And so this is what they were doing. So this is what they're doing during the day. They would be throwing this up in the air, right? And then we get to see how Boaz stays in the field, and it shows us some humility. So while his people are working, he's with them. He is right alongside them. And then during this process, Boaz and Ruth are actually getting to know each other, right? I mean, obviously dating is actually a very modern invention, right? Picking your spouse is actually a very modern invention or thought process in the Western world. There's still places in the world today that people do not pick who they marry, right? That's done by their parents. I used to have a coworker who was in arranged marriage, and he used to vow that his children would be arranged, and he also went to the single women and men at school and was like, "I can arrange your marriage," right? And we're like, no, thank you. But he's changed his mind on that for his children. He says they don't grow up in that culture, so that'd be too much to ask of them, right? But it's still prevalent in many places in the world. But as they were doing the harvest, they actually got to know each other's character even more. They got to see who the other person truly was. And the last thing, there's the background. There's some people out there that think this uncovering his feet was some sort of sexual innuendo, some sort of cultural sign that there was more to it than it was, but there's like no evidence of that. In fact, there's nothing in scripture or other documents that would back that idea to support it, right? And the fact that he woke up and noticed her there also is a sign that it wasn't something sexual. And so in chapter 3, you are getting actually kind of a parallel to chapter 2. They kind of run very similarly. They start and end the same. But there's just a couple things that really stood out to me in this portion. And one is that God is creating a place of rest and security. The word security in verse 1 is the same Hebrew word used in Ruth 1:9. When Naomi hopes that her daughter-in-laws would find rest and security. The Hebrew word is manawak, sure, something like that. And it describes God's heart for a person's home, that it would be a place of security and rest. So when they're using this word rest and security, it's coming together. And we get an understanding of what God's desire is. You know, during COVID-19, so many reports have come out about abuse at home. Child abuse, spousal abuse. Some people who never abused their spouses before, but because they don't get to escape each other at all in many countries. You know, my brother's wife was telling me how they had friends in Spain who they live in an apartment and they didn't leave for months and they had just a tiny balcony for their child to step out onto. Right? Under those circumstances, things can become quite intense. You know, I was talking with a parent from here, and their kids really wanted to travel, and their parent was telling them, but when you come back, you have to quarantine. And they were like, I don't want to quarantine. And they go, but what is quarantine? They didn't even know what the word meant. It just sounded terrible, right? And then the mom's like, well, you just have to stay at home all day for 14 days. And the daughter's like, okay, we can do that. You know, she's like, that's not bad. I like being home. You know, and there's that kind of that balance. But God desires for our homes to be a place of security and rest. And that's why when people go home and they don't have that, it's so traumatizing. It's so traumatizing when that is what you know. Your life is you fearful the entire time you're there, right? The anguish and the angst that comes about. And I think that's the same for church. You know, this is a home. And this is a place God calls us, right, into his presence to find rest, but it should also be a place that we feel safe. Safe to come and worship God, safe to be able to have friends and not feel like someone's looking down on us or being abused spiritually or, you know, all of those things. This is a place that we should feel safe, that God desires for us to be able to find our rest in him. And that's also our relationship with him. You know, I think God truly desires for us to find that rest and that security in him and him alone. When Ruth was covered by Boaz's garment, it was a sign of Boaz or a man saying, yes, I want you to be my wife to this widow, right? And in fact, many Arabs and Jews, this is very culturally applicable. And in Jewish weddings, they still do this, where a man will cover his wife with this cloth, and then we actually had it at one wedding here as well, but it happened one time. This is the same terminology used in Ezekiel 16:8. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at a time for love, so I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you became mine, declares the Lord God. You know, here we get to see how God, by covering us, just like Boaz covered Ruth, we become his. We become his children. He becomes our protector. He's covering our nakedness. You know, Adam and Eve sinned. They realized their nakedness. And what is the first thing God does after asking, where are you? What happened? He makes them clothes. He covers them. God covers them. Even though they disobeyed him, even though they sinned, God made the initiative to cover his children. That was the act of love. Yes, he brought in discipline. They get kicked out of the garden. You know, P. Sam talked about how he left the garden with them. But he made that choice to cover them, even in their breaking of their relationship. They were the ones that did wrong. And here we see God is the one, just like Boaz. You know, Boaz is a Christ-like figure, right? He represents a small shot, picture of God. And what God does for his people is what Boaz is doing for Naomi and her family. If we really come down to it, this is a redemption of Naomi's family. This is a redemption of Naomi's line. Ruth is part of this blessing by choosing to stay with Naomi. But God is redeeming both Naomi and Ruth. But it is Naomi's family that's being redeemed. And Ruth gets to come along into this blessing as her daughter-in-law, as choosing this family as hers. I mean, maybe she didn't get to choose them initially, but she chose them when she stayed. Right? This covering was a sign of a covenant, just like marriage is a covenant. Right? And God's people are his, and Boaz was claiming Ruth to be his wife. He would be her Goel, or as we talk, kinsman redeemer. And I shared about that last week. You know, as I was reading, it just this idea of character just keeps coming back. It keeps coming back over and over again. Right? It is the character that was what drew them to each other. It is the character. You know, honestly, I think one of the things that really I'm starting to realize why it bothers me so much. And I understand, you know, we have things about people that we like. And so we are not, I'm not talking just dating, friendship as well, right? Like in friendships, we see things about somebody and that's what draws us to them, right? It could be their personality. It could be the way they, I mean, I look at kids, they would look at the, honestly, the rich kids would always be the kids because, oh, they would have a pool or they'd be able to drive them home or, you know, all these crazy things. There was always something that would draw people to each other, right? And oftentimes, let's be realistic, it's looks. Even in just the friendship context, you see someone that looks intriguing and you want to know them better. But here, this book could not prove that. This book really proves how wrong that mentality is. It is not of God. When we look at the outward or even the financial stability of people or their culture to be what draws them to each other, it completely over and over and over again emphasizes the character of Ruth and Boaz. That was essential to this relationship, right? Ruth, again, Boaz says he will redeem her because of her character and her virtue. She did everything Naomi said. She was consistent, right? This woman was so godly. She was so following God's way, right? She was willing to put herself in such a place of despair, potentially, of poverty, to stay faithful to this family she's chosen. You know, if you take it in our place, for those of us who aren't from Hong Kong or have, we'll just say it, passports from other countries, we choose to stay in Hong Kong despite everything that goes on around us. We're choosing to stay in this community. It's a choice that we're making. And it's like, Ruth, we're choosing to stay here, right? The Hong Kong people are our people. Many of you, they are your people because you're born into that people group too. But we've chosen, or you go to a church, and I want to be careful. Spiritual abuse and all that comes in, let's remove that talk. I'm not talking about in those situations. But when you go to a church and things get hard, you choose that church. It's your people. It's a choice you've made, right? And how do we stay alongside? You know, Boaz, he could have actually forced himself on Ruth. He had done the investigation. He had known that she was part of his family, that he could be her redeemer, her kinsman redeemer. But he never forced it, right? Scripture shows that she's the one that came to him. He also realized someone had a legal right to marry Ruth before him. He wasn't trying to deceive. He's like, this is the case. I'm going to do things legally. I'm going to legally bring this in front, and we'll find out next week. that he goes beyond just the basics, right? He brings more witnesses than he needs to. But he's like, I'm going to do this in public. We're going to make this as legal as possible, biblical as possible. And then Boaz blesses her with food. Not just enough food for the day or the week, but the amount is, I looked it up. I read somewhere in my notes when I listened to a sermon on this before, the person said 15 gallons is what it would equal, which is about 100. No, I didn't write the liters on that. But then I looked up in other places, and actually other sources say the 6 ephahs would be actually around 34 gallons, which would have been 132 liters of food. So I don't even know how Ruth would have carried that back. I was like, how would you, even 15 gallons, I'm not really sure how that would work. But I think the point is it was an abundance. It was an overflow. And that is the character of Boaz. But that's the character of God. God's not stingy. God's not holding back the goodness of him. He may for a while, right? You know, Naomi saw such horrible things. Her husband died, her sons died. It felt like God was, you know, cursing her, going after her, like removing his blessing. But actually we see that God was at work and he just is blessing. And it's an overflow into their life. Both of them looked at character, right? Boaz, we see, is a much older man, it appears, because he talks about Ruth could have gone for someone younger, but Ruth chose a man of character. And lastly, the name Ruth means friend in Hebrew, right? And I think when we think about that name, Ruth as friend, we get to see who she was to both Naomi, to Boaz, and how we are to God and are the people that we have chosen to be part of. We get to be a friend. I really think we all here are Ruth. We chose God. We chose to be part of that covenant family. We chose to be God's friend. We've chose to be Naomi's friend. And honestly, some of us haven't, but we should choose the Israelites to be our friends. And how we look at the world should be, how are we making these deeper connections? How are we loving people? How are we developing our inner character, right? I talked a lot about how we look at other people's character, but it starts with us, ourselves. We can't expect other people to have good character if we're not cultivating that in ourselves. What are we doing in our lives so that we are becoming more Christ-like? What are we doing? Are we just okay with sin in our life? Are we just okay with things being the way they are? Looking at the world and being complacent to everything that's happening? Or are we taking the time to inside change? Are we really trying to address the prejudices or the hate that we have in our life? The doubt, the lack of faith, our short tempers, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a fun... When my brother became ordained, he had it's a very long process in the denomination I came from. And so I couldn't be around when... So it's an open forum, and there's a panel. I don't know fully what it looked like because I can't be around when my brother even preaches. He laughs every time. He can't see me. It's bizarre. I don't know what it is, why it's me. Maybe it's because he knows I would tell him he's wrong, and my other siblings would just follow. But that's just me. But he sees me and he laughs. So my mom and I could not be there. We actually left the state. We went to Colorado on a family trip. But my mom was on her phone waiting to find out what happened. And one of the questions they asked him was, so which fruit of the Spirit do you have weakness in? And he pondered for a while. And this we get a message from our pastor that Tony was taking a while to answer. And he finally said, I don't struggle with any of them. And they said, but do you know what the fruit of the Spirit are? But it's actually kind of true about my brother, not the other one. This one particular brother, he really has overall the fruit of the Spirit working in his life. But I can't say that necessarily for myself or others. It's truly a gift from God for him that he has worked and cultivated on in his life. But you know, those are also part of our character. It's not that you're going to only be patient. God wants you to have all of them. So this morning, as I asked Matthew to come up, I want us to really look at who we are. You know, at the end of this chapter, way that it parallels with chapter 2 is we see hope again, Right? Chapter one ends in despair, no hope. Chapter two, there's hope. And again, Naomi sees that there is hope. But what is your character like? Where are our weaknesses? What are the things that God is challenging you? And not in a condemning way, but like, you know, I just really want you to work on this area in your life. And so just spend some time with God this morning asking him. Asking him what it is he's trying to change and address in your heart, in your life, in the way that you react and relate with people and him.
Just loving this image of Ruth spreading out her garment and Boaz just filling it with grain. And I'm just meditating on the Lord and saying, yes, God, fill up our cloaks, God, this morning. Fill us up, oh God. Such a beautiful image on the generosity of God, on the faithfulness of God. Oh, God, so good. Just worship him this morning. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the nail-pierced hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up, Jesus, Son of God. You're the darling of heaven, crucified. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb seated on the throne. We crown you now with many crowns. You reign victorious. You are high and lifted up, Jesus, Jesus, Son of God. You're the darling of heaven, crucified. worthy, O God. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
Let's just take a moment to thank God for all that He's done, how He's transforming us, and just the blessing that He has poured over into our life. Let's take a moment. Let's just pray for those in our community who are battling cancer, going through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery, and recovering. Let's just pray for God's healing hand in their lives and protection. Pray for those who are sick, but also need salvation. Let's just pray for God just to open their eyes, the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to Him for both physical and spiritual healing. Let's lift up those who are battling other various infirmities. Let's just lift them up to God. Pray for those looking for jobs. Let's just pray that God will just open the right doors and just guide them to the right place at the right time. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for our church plants, SP Singapore, SPIN, SPIL, and SP New York. Let's just pray for their leaders, Let's pray for wisdom, especially as SPSG and SP in New York are still in lockdown. New York is starting to open up slowly, but just pray for just wisdom and healing. If there's anything that's going on, let's continue to lift up their leaders as well. Pray for our education ministries, SP Kids, SP Youth, SPU. Let's just pray that God will just continue to speak to our kids, our students of all ages, that they'll just be able to know God from a young age, and they will just be able to put their faith and trust in Him from an early start of life. Lift up our prayer and healing teams. Let's just pray that God will lead and guide their leaders. We have IP led by Matt, The Well with Cadence, and River with Ayoung. Let's just pray that God will just really move through these teams and just continue to, guide them. Pray for our evening outreaches, SP Lights and Homie. They're suspended for right now, but let's really lift up the poor of Hong Kong. Let's pray against the wealth gap, and let's just pray that God will show us how that we can help, how we can be friends and brothers and sisters alongside of all these different people groups. Pray for our house churches meeting tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's just pray for just an amazing time of fellowship, that they'll be able to be real and vulnerable with each other, and just community growth will take place. Finally, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's just pray for this city. Let's pray for peace. Let's pray for transformation. And let's just pray for continued protection. So God, we just thank you that we have such a privilege that we get to call you our Father, that we get to be your children. Lord God, we thank you that you've put us in community where we can be friends with one another. And Lord, we just ask God that you'll just continue just to draw us closer to you, changing us and molding us to be more like you. And so God, we just thank you for the privilege to gather. And so God, we ask that you'll just guide our steps today, open our eyes to see what it is you're doing so that we can join you. And so Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great rest of your prayer time and hope to see you tomorrow.